Look over here in chapter 40, verse 45, where he is talking about building this location, the city of Jerusalem. It's starting in verse 1, and I'm not going to get in the detail. This is very detailed, so you can read it later. But he's describing from verse 1 all the way to verse 6, the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem, and when you read the numbers, the reed there is approximately 10 feet long. You can study it out. It's going to be 2,500 square miles, 50 miles on each side, 50 miles wide, 50 miles long. When you look at the state of Israel, from the Mediterranean coast there in Tel Aviv over to the Jordan River is approximately 76 miles. So Jerusalem itself is going to be almost all of that. It's going to be 50 miles wide and 50 miles long. That's 2,500 square miles. That is going to be lifted up. Zechariah 14 talks about it. Here in Ezekiel chapter 45, it talks about it. It's going to be lifted up. Above that is going to be the Temple Mount. Look at chapter 42 and verse 20. And he measured it by the four sides, and it had a wall round about it, 500 reeds long. Now remember, I said a reed is approximately 10 feet, so that would be 5,000 feet. 5,280 is the distance of a mile, so basically we're talking about this would be a mile square. The Temple Mount is approximately now 3 football fields in size. The whole old city of Jerusalem inside the wall is approximately 1 mile square. And so the Temple Mount is going to be lifted up above the city of Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is going to be lifted up, and it'll be prominent there on the Jerusalem skyline. Above that, then, the details here in chapters 40 to 46 tell us that the temple is going to stand 21 stories high. 21 stories high. Now, it's 100 cubits high, and a royal cubit is what's used here. A regular cubit is from the elbow to the tip of the finger, 18 inches. A royal cubit is 21 inches, so that would be 2,100 feet high. That's 21 stories high that this temple is going to be. There's much interesting things in here about this temple, but when that's going to be built is during that 10-day period of time. He comes back on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. There's 10 days that is going to take place before Yom Kippur comes. He's going to build the temple. He's going to rearrange Jerusalem, rearrange the Temple Mount, build a 21-story high temple, and he will then get ready to go to the battlefield for the Battle of Armageddon. Now, this is when the temple is built, the Messiah's temple I'm talking about here, and that is how it's going to unfold. On the 10th day of the month, the 7th month in the fall, on that 10th day is Yom Kippur. What is going to happen during those 10 days? He'll build the temple, rearrange the city of Jerusalem, go to the battlefield. The Battle of Armageddon will take place. He will go over to Petra. He will gather in those Jews who are in Petra. He will bring them. By the way, the Bible says the blood will flow as high as the horse's bridle for 176 miles. I take that to be literal. If you had 100 million soldiers in the battlefield at the Jezreel Valley, that would be 600 million quarts of blood. If you do the numbers on it, that's 50 quarts of blood for every foot for 176 miles. That's about as high as the horse's bridle. So I take that to be literal. And by the way, it's 176 miles from Megiddo in the Jezreel Valley to the entrance of Petra, where he is going to keep those people. Isaiah 63 says, "Who is that coming from Basra? Like he's been treading the winepress, the fierce of the wrath of Almighty God. His white robes are sprinkled with blood." It's Jesus Christ. He said, "I am he that was going and took care of all that needed to be taken care of." And he goes and he brings his Jews back, and he brings them from the east. Ezekiel, look at Ezekiel 43 here. It's giving information about how he's going to come back. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 1, "And afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east." Petra is east of the city of Jerusalem. He's talking about coming by the way of the eastern gate. look here in verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came unto the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. Verse 7, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall be, shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by their carcasses of their kings in their high places. He's coming in, and he's walking into the Holy of Holies on the day of Yom Kippur. What did the high priest do on a yearly basis? He was the only one allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, taking the blood in, pouring it on the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus Christ never walked into the Holy of Holies while here on earth. He took his blood into the Holy of Holies in the temple, the original temple in the heavenlies, 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And so there he went in to the original. But that 8th and 9th chapter tells us in Hebrew that everything on earth is simply a replica of that original in the heavenly. So he went into the Holy of Holies there, but he will come back to earth, and when he brings the Jews from Petra, he will walk into the Holy of Holies, and he will then become high priest of the order of Melchizedek. The book of Hebrews chapter 9 verses 24 to 27 tell us that once in the end of time, Jesus will do what the priest had to do on a yearly basis. He once walks into the Holy of Holies and he goes in. By the way, Zechariah chapter 3 verse 9 says that the Jews are saved in a day. And all of those he's brought out of Petra. One third of all the Jews, two out of every three Jews, Zechariah 13, 8, will be killed. One third will be protected at Petra. All one third will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 9. And on that day when he walks into the Holy of Holies, all of them are saved in one day. By the way, that's what Yom Kippur was. Yom Kippur was the Day of Atonement for the Jewish people. That was the entire nation, national salvation. Passover was individual salvation. There'd be a four-day period before the next event, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Do you remember when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ there at Caesarea Philippi? What did Peter say when he saw Moses, he saw Elijah, and he saw Jesus in their glorified bodies? He said, let's put up three tabernacles. Now, that's not talking about putting up a statue to honor these men. It's talking about putting up a sukkah. The word in Hebrew for tabernacle is sukkah. A sukkah is a thatched hut. That's what they lived in when they were traveling in the wilderness. You put up four poles, you put a framework on top, and you put the limbs of trees on top. That's how they would protect themselves from the sun and the weather while wandering in the wilderness. At the Feast of Tabernacles, they put up a sukkah. In their homes, they put up a sukkah just outside so they can live or eat or spend the evening or have fellowship in the sukkah for the 7 days. Well, that is representative of the kingdom. That's what Peter thought was happening. He saw them, and Jesus had said, you shall not die, some of you, before you see me come into my kingdom. Peter said, man, we're in the kingdom. Let's put up a sukkah. Let's celebrate. It's a Feast of Tabernacles. And so that's exactly what this is talking about. And so Jesus Christ, as he fulfilled the first four Jewish feasts in the spring in the proper day sequences, will do the exact same thing. He comes back on Feast of Trumpets. He walks into the temple on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and the tabernacle's celebration begins with the millennial kingdom. That's when he will rule and reign from that temple, and he builds it during that time up there.